This morning's message, I hope, is an encouragement, if not for yourself, perhaps for somebody that you know who might need a little of encouragement. So this morning's message is moving forward without looking in the rearview mirror. And so I want to ask each of you, if you are going to go on a long drive and you were the driver of the car, how do you think you would do just looking through the rearview mirror? You wouldn't do too well. Well, I want to share a personal story with you. Actually, it's a frightening story. One of my daughters pulled her car into the driveway. She said she was having problems with the brakes. So I wanted to get in the car to give it a test drive. This was just 3 days ago. Little did I know that the brake line was completely snapped and there was no brake fluid. It's a V8 engine, okay? That's like a Learjet car. And I got in the car, and I put it in reverse, and I hit the gas and went flying across the street. Thank God I didn't hit anybody. Right onto my neighbor's lawn, vaulted over the sidewalk. Looking through my rearview mirror, I just saw myself enjoying a time of watching TV in my neighbor's basement. So thinking as quickly as I could, I jammed it into park, and the car came to a screeching halt. There was sod everywhere, dirt on the sidewalk. And then I tried to figure out how I'm going to push this Cadillac across the street. It wasn't going to happen. Make a long story short, I put it in drive in neutral, until I was able to creep it back across the street and into the driveway. I just want to say driving while looking only in the rear view mirror is not the best and safest way to drive. Would you agree? Yes, I can attest to that. And yet, there's a good number of well-intentioned people, and I might add some Christians as well, who travel through life looking through the rearview mirror. They navigate life looking backwards, looking at their past, which keeps them from looking forward. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Let me give you an example. Sally is a 46-year-old mother of three. She's been married 20 years, and sometimes her husband, James, can't figure out why she responds the way she does. Many times, she'll either explode or she will retreat in isolation. In other words, she'll divorce herself from the people around her because something triggered her. Now, James, her husband, in this particular case, it could be a husband or a wife, he grew up in a stable home. He had excellent parents who were role models, a lot of activities between the siblings and the parents. They went on vacations. They spent quality time together. He received a lot of support and encouragement in his academics, in his activities, whether it was scouting or baseball or any of the athletics he was involved in school. Sally, on the other hand, often witnessed her parents arguing. Sometimes it would even lead to physical arguing. And she witnessed this. Her father would come home and he would start drinking, or he would start drinking before he got home by stopping at a pub or a bar along the way after finishing a long day's work. And she said it never turned out good either way, whether he drank at home or he drank before he came home. She said she grew up consistently in fear. She never felt secure in her own home unless her father wasn't around. If he wasn't around, things got a little better. And so little by little, Sally would take on baggage. What do I mean by that? Fear, anger, insecurity, depression, feeling as a victim, which she was, emotionally speaking. And over the years, joy was fleeting, but depression was often a constant companion because of the experiences she had in the past. Now, looking at her, you would never know it, because whether it was at work or church or any other activities, she appeared to be normal. In fact, she excelled at work because she wanted to prove to her employer, her fellow workers, and even herself that she was a person of worth and not the person that she was made to be because of all of what she experienced growing up. She would be okay until a comment, a statement, an act, something would happen that would trigger a response of either fight or flight. And it could happen at work. It certainly happened a lot in the home, because something deep down inside was operating, and many people didn't understand it. I think you got the picture. Well, I asked the question, what can a person do when a person finds him or herself in such a position? Now, again, I'm stating it may not be you, but maybe it's somebody you know. Maybe it's a friend or a family member, somebody that you know has this going on in his or her life. What can one do to help with these burdens of the past? You see, if you continue to drive looking backwards in the rearview mirror, sooner or later, you're going to get into a collision. For me, it was my neighbor's lawn. That was an actual driving in the rearview mirror. But for folks that are constantly looking backwards, or at least that's what's driving them, sooner or later it's going to wind up on a collision course with someone or something. Now, for Sally, it meant unexpected responses toward her husband, James, and perhaps others. Is it always easy to get rid of excessive baggage in our lives that weighs us down? Is it always easy to change one's focus of direction from looking back constantly rather than moving forward and looking ahead? I believe the answer to that question is no. And don't get me wrong, I also believe that good counseling helps in that regard as well. I know some people that don't believe in counseling. One such person was my father. My father was old school. Everything gets taken care of here. And nothing got taken care of. So, yes, counseling is good. And it's not easy to handle these things that have weighted us down. And I might add also, and I truly believe this, it's impossible to do on our own without help. Now, there's so much to unpack here this morning. I don't have the time, but there's so much in Scripture that will help a person who's stuck in the past, and to get them and help them to unload this baggage they're carrying around that's weighing them down and robbing them of their peace and their joy in life. And so in our text this morning, Peter says that we're to humble ourselves under God's mighty hand. Now, that word humble in the original Greek means to submit oneself, to lower oneself. Now, don't confuse that with submitting and lowering yourself to somebody else. Peter's saying, submit and lower yourself to the mighty hand of God, who could do something about what we're experiencing in our lives. And it's an encouragement. And then he says, at the right time, God will lift you up. That's such a beautiful image I have in my head of being in like quicksand and somebody coming and lifting you out of that mess. And that's what Peter's talking about here, the imagery. You see, God knows the pain we're in. God knows the baggage that we're carrying around. God knows that we're looking back instead of looking forward. God knows these things because God is all-knowing. And God wants to lift us up out of that place that we find ourselves in. And let me tell you something. You could be 14 or you could be 94. It doesn't matter. I've met people along the full spectrum who had tons of baggage. It doesn't matter what age you are. Doesn't matter who you are or how successful you are. Any one of us could fall victim of this. And then in verse number 7 that Ed read, he says, cast all your troubles or all your anxieties on God. Why? Because God cares for you. Now, I found this interesting. I looked up the word cast in the original Greek, and it means to throw something away, to toss it, to get rid of it. And so what is he saying? To get rid of all the baggage that's weighing us down, to get rid of those memories that have wounded us from our past, to cast off those things that are pulling us down and pulling us back from moving forward, to get rid of whatever it is that's causing us to move through life looking through the rearview mirror instead of looking forward. Why? Well, Peter makes it crystal clear. He says, because God truly cares about us. God cares about us. He cares about our pain. He cares about our hurts. He cares about the wrongs that were done against us in our past. He really cares. That was never God's intention that any of those things should happen. And he wants to do something about it. People and circumstances may have loaded us up with burdens and pain, but I want to tell you something, it was never God's intention. How many children have heard such negative things in their lives that have robbed them of their self-esteem and just hurt them terribly? That's never been God's intention. That is humans' problem of not being careful in how we speak into children's lives. And then lastly, in verse number 8, in the police department, not in New York City, but when I was with the department in Florida, they used to call it a bolo. They don't do that in New York. Be on the lookout for a 97 Chevy Camaro stolen 5 minutes ago, color green, interior brown. Be on the lookout, but Peter's telling us to be on the lookout for an enemy. What does he say? He says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for whomever to devour. Resist him and stand firm in your faith. In another place in Scripture, it says, resist the devil and he will flee. Now, I know there's some people don't believe there's a devil. Halloween, you'll see people running around dressed up as the devil. I can assure you, he doesn't look anything like that. There is a spiritual forces of wickedness that exists in the spiritual realm, and the devil wants nothing more than to get a foothold in your life and in your head, to bring up every painful thing that he can, to keep it as a reminder before you that you're nobody or you're everything they said you were, or all those pains and suffering that you might have gone through in the past. But you know what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:5? It's up there. Take every thought captive under the obedience of Jesus Christ. That is one of my favorite verses of Scripture. Take every thought captive under the obedience of Jesus Christ. In other words, with God's help, gain control over what you think about yourself and what others have spoken over your life. Take control of it. Confront those disabling thoughts and turn them over to God. By taking those thoughts captive, it means whenever one of those negative thoughts comes into your mind, take captive of it and turn it over to God. I do it a lot. Sometimes I get negative thoughts in my head. I think we all do. And when I'm cognizant of what's happening, and I remember to do this, I call on that scripture. Lord, I take every thought captive right now under the obedience of Jesus Christ. And then Paul tells us in Philippians 4:8, he says, once you take that negative thought and give it to God, then think about things that are true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable. In Philippians 4:8, he says, think on those things. In other words, give your negative thoughts to God and take the time to really do it. Whether you're driving in your car or you're at home, it matters not, or at a board meeting with on your job or in the classroom as a student, when that thought enters your head, be cognizant enough to say, I'm going to turn this over to you, God. It's troubling me. Somebody provoked me just now. Someone stirred me up. And I want to turn this thought over to you. Take it from me, Lord. And then backfill your mind with things that are positive. Friends, if you look at that screen up there, you'll see that this guy is carrying a whole lot of baggage. Shame, guilt, pain, hurt, whatever it is, we're encouraged to take our baggage and leave it at the cross. I want to ask you a question. How many of you ever used a, what do they call them at the airport, who take your baggage? Who? I mean, at the street level. You don't want to go through your...
Skycap.
Thank you. See that? Get a little help from your friends. Have you ever seen somebody walk up and then when the skycap tries to take your bags, you say, no, you can't have them. You turn them over. And Peter's telling us, take this baggage that's weighing us down, leave it at the foot of the cross. We need to release those things that have held us captive. We cannot move forward and be a productive Christian if we're bound and weighted down by such things. We cannot grow into the person that God wants us to be if we remain clinging to those hurts and pain and sorrows of the past. Today's the day, church. Today's the day we should think about dropping off those bags. Today's the day that we begin to drive forward and stop driving while looking in the rearview mirror.